shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we remember the words of Peter as he spoke to the people, proclaiming that Elijah would surely come, proclaiming that all things which we know to be the word of God would be restored. And Father, we know that that means that one more time now with restoration, the words that you spoke to Adam and Eve, that they would be fruitful and multiply and they would take over the earth. We know that the first part was fulfilled in the multiplication even under wrong circumstances, but they never did get to be in authority over your kingdom, which you gave to them to have authority over in this earth. And we know that's shortly coming to pass now, because we know the time and eternity have blended, and we are on the exit journey from Egypt and Babylon and in now to the journey of coming into the promised land. And we know, Lord, that you're leading us, and pretty soon it will be back here in the millennium to fulfill that day, that 1,000 years or whatever truly a lot of time is that you have want us to fulfill. And we appreciate we'll be one great family there with Jesus, and there'll be temple worship and various things we don't understand, but we know that whatever there is for us is going to be perfectly wonderful, especially on the grounds that we will be far away from this old lump of mixed clay and from the thoughts of man, and be truly one with you in a way we've never been before, and in true submission as never before, and in true authority as never before. So there will be truly a beautiful ruling and reigning over the earth, and those things that you delegate to us, all harmony and all life and beauty, waiting only for the next time, which will be the flight off the earth and then back to the new earth, the new city, the new Jerusalem, and the glory of God, when all things are truly brought to the highest form that you want them, Lord. And we know that, and we must never forget, and help us, Lord, to never forget, even moment by moment, day by day, that time and eternity have blended, that time is passing away rapidly, and all these things, like that great Roman candle, and each one bursting more beautiful, more wonderful than the one previous to it, until coming right into the resurrection, immortality, rapture, wedding supper, and on to the glory of God. So we thank you for it, Lord, that this is true. And as Brother Branham said, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. By the grace of God, we won't stand in her way, but we'll watch her as she takes her position, even of those things that we have heard about, and give back to you in prayer. Help us tonight to receive your word, Lord, and to be one with it as never before. It's just to receive it as a child, to believe it in the simplicity of truth, as a child believes the parents, because, Father, you are God, our God, and our parent. And no one else is in between us, just you and us all now who make up that bride. So we commend ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, just before we... I've got a lot of different things I could say, but I'm just going to take one little note here, and then we're going to go into identification. But talking a while ago about the fact that America became a great country of great financiers, and those people realized their responsibility to others to use what God had given them correctly. And it's all gone to the place of where money has become the criteria of success, and how much they have. And as the book of James said, the intrinsicality of man's soul is money, money, money. The love of money is the root of all evil. I just want to read you something here, and then we're going to make a comparison. It says, the U.S. is on the verge of setting a dangerous precedent with an $8 billion arms sale to the United Arab Emirates, $5 billion to Lockheed for 80 state-of-the-art F-16 jets, $3 billion for the radar and the other equipment on the jets. What makes this deal different is that the UAE, that's the Arabs, threatened to buy from France. Unless we include source codes, the computer software that controls the jamming of radar and tells if another plane is a friend or a foe. If you have that knowledge, that's pretty good if you ask me. I don't know how they do it, but that's simply marvelous. The U.S. rarely sells the codes except to some allies because they could be used against us or obtained by competitors. Now, Israel also has asked for source codes before agreeing to a $2.5 billion purchase of F-16s or F-15s. At this writing, the United Arab Emirates deal is expected to go quietly to Congress during its August recess. If not rejected within 30 days, the deal automatically passes. Now, isn't it true that the papers have been full of Chinese stealing our secrets? Isn't it true there's a big hullabaloo? They're going to clean house and really find out who is doing these terrible things to destroy our great nation? Hey, I'm with the Chinese. We didn't have to buy it. We just got on the computers and found it. And they don't have to even bribe congressmen and make it look sick. Just tell Congress there's money involved. America's gone, brother, sister. When you sell everything for a dollar bill, forget it. It's shot. It's finished. I read a little bit today about the stock market, how that certain people took certain figures and they figured certain things and it seemed to work, but it doesn't always work. To me, the stock market and the money system is as phony as a $3 bill. In fact, it's phonier because we might make a $3 bill that's legal. But don't tell me it's not manipulated. They've said that for years and that's a lie. It's got to be a lie. Because how do people know when to sell and not? The whole thing, in my estimation, as I understand the scripture, in the end time, go to your rich man, weep and howl, your miseries have come upon you. You withheld the hire of the laborer. And at the same time, the CEOs and these people have withheld the income that people need that income to retire on, that they put all this money in. And they act as though they got some divine right somewhere to do what they want when they have it. That's why I said a while ago to you personally, we are citizens of a dual citizens, the kingdom of God of this earth here. And believe me, you're judged on both hands. And so am I. What I read here boggles my mind. And yet it doesn't. They've been doing it all along. If there's a dollar, we do not have a government of the people, by the people, for the people. It is a government by the lobby, and it is for the lobby. It's of them, our congressmen, our president, thoroughly controlled by the dollar bill. Everybody's controlled by a dollar bill. We as Christians must be very, very careful. And Brother Branham was, and we must be careful that we do not get involved in the world finances and make money our priority. But as John prayed and said, I wish above all else you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. In other words, a prosperous soul and a prosperous body. And usually people will tell you that's the truth, comes ahead of a dollar bill anytime. I remember my wife and I really had literally nothing. We had a baby to feed too. We had nothing. But we did have each other and we had health. And we had, God was blessing our souls. And I tell you, money looked awfully important, but I look back over my life and see that money is not the important thing. It's necessary, it is true, but it's not the important thing. The important thing is seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. It's time we got rid of a gimme religion and a give it to me God. He's already set everything in order, divine flow. If you and I want something, simply sow for it. Wait patiently and God will give it. That's the secret of every single thing. Every single thing relies upon the word of Almighty God who stands behind his word to perform it. So let's remember that. It's over, brother, sister. It's over. They've sold us. Brother Branham said, I think his figures were for 40 generations down the road. Now they got a chance to pay off some of the national debt. They're not going to do it. And the big talk about $600 billion. Oh, come on. That's a pipe dream. They haven't even got it. Just because you people sitting here tonight, so you're young people, you're healthy bodies, you've got a job, it doesn't mean you'll have a job in 30 days or a healthy body either. You can't count on it. You got to count on the word of the living God. That's all you can do. And hey, when you see what's happened in our age under a vindicated prophet, God himself, as I've said, literally eyeballing us, standing in his presence, what in the world is there to quake or fear about? You don't have to work yourself up and get emotionally anything else. It's a done job. I tell you, it's a done job. Is thus saith the Lord. Their brother Branham said it's just like things under a tablecloth. You give the tablecloth a whisk and there it all is. It's all done before us. So put your trust in God, not in uncertain riches. Boy, don't even put your trust in a healthy body, because that's uncertain too. You know, you could be just as dead by a ton of bricks or a truck hitting you as getting cancer or tuberculosis. There's one step betwixt us and death. That's the scripture. David himself said that. So, all right, we're going to talk about identification, and I want to just read a little bit here, and then I'm going to, if I can read my notes, I'll read from what I want to read here in order to set the tenor once more of what identification is all about. All right, it is absolutely or set in stone, an iron pen engraving a rock, that Brother Branham is teaching from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 to 18, and a glimpse at chapter 3, verse 1. So, let's look at that. It says here, God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers in the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So it tells you right there, there's the dual personality. There's a Father inside the Son. There's a God inside of a man. Now, you can do what you want with it. I mean, you can change it around and say, well, I don't know, It acts a fact of the matter. Jesus is his own Father. Well, then go ahead. I don't mind that. You just go ahead. But I'm going to tell you one thing. That's of the devil and came from Babylon, because the inscription of the baby on the mother's lap is the child is the husband of the mother. So if you're Jesus only, you're of the devil. Now, Brother Branham categorically said organization was of the devil, because they go plumb off the word. And he said, you oneness people had the truth at one time and you organized. So what happened is now of the devil. There's no way Jesus can be his own Father, tells you right here. God fathered Jesus and indwelt him. Do what you want to do about it. People don't even want to believe God was in the prophets. When Brother Branham brought that out, except I believe he was vindicated, that was so strange that I said, forget it. Well, you're making too much a man. But what if God condescended? What if somebody came by and said, Brother Dale, I'm going to buy you a new car and put you in a better house than you got now and give you some servicing? Oh, far be it from me to take that. Oh, no, no. Oh, I'd grab on with all 4 feet. Like a monkey climbing a tree. You wouldn't get me off your back. But you talk about this. Oh, no, I can't take it. Who said it? Is this a lie or is it a truth? You see, there's where you stand. There's where everybody's got to stand before God in the light of the vindicated word, in the light of the judge who passed judgment. If Brother Branham said, you sing this song, I'll go with him through the judgment, you're doing it already. Now, did he mean it or was he just being nice? And so, now you people, let me tell you. Oh, come on. God have pity. I couldn't take that from anybody. Some little stupid thing. You're passing through the judgment. Neither were you weren't. You think a vindicated prophet will lie to us? Then if you've gone through judgment, then the judge has to be here. See? All right. who being the brightness of his glory. This is telling you something like we've been talking about, how that God actually wrapped himself in the created sperm and egg in order that the DNA, RNA, the complete reality of God would be expressed in a human being, a human carcass. Then the Son took possession. He had the lower body has thou prepared me. I don't know how to understand it any other way. You understand it, you'll understand it my way. Now the Son's born with this body, and this body now is perfect to show forth what we're looking here. Who being the brightness, the effulgence, that means the outflowing, gracious, magnificent, beautiful, bright, shining. Like, have you ever seen pictures of a volcano? When it goes boom, and the lava boiling in brilliant colors, especially reds go up. Why, no pyrotechnics of any description or fireworks could ever do that. It's the most marvelous thing you ever saw. Every time I see a film on the volcanoes erupting and that lava coming down, this is absolutely thrilling. And that is the outflowing of that volcano that looks like a bunch of mud rocks and a bunch of nothing. We haven't seen God. But watch the outflowing. Hallelujah. And you see Jesus. Yep. Amen. It's a beautiful. And that's the perfect picture Brother Branham gave us when he said he wrapped himself in his creator sperm and egg. The express image of his person. All the glory. The express image of his person. That's why he said, don't ever make an image of me. I got my own image. Yeah. I could just preach around this for the next half hour. Forget it. We'll do my best to get through it. Because I got something else to say here about Brother Branham's sermon. And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down in the right hand of the majesty on high. Now the Catholics want to tell you, they did invent purgatory. And they say, we all got to go to purgatory. So the Catholic Church has taken the place now of Jesus. It says here, he purged our sins. And if he purged our sins, what are you looking for another purging? The only purging is your walk that you live here when you say, God, I'm going to serve you. And you bite the bullet and you serve him in the face of those circumstances that are against us. But you stand with God and for God. Remember, you never stand for God unless you can stand with God. Because your standing for God doesn't mean anything unless God's standing for you. It's not whose side is God on, but who is on the Lord's side. You've got to give him the preeminence. Right at the majesty of night. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath obtained inheritance more excellent than they, and so on. Now, let's jump to the second chapter. Now, he tells you who this one is, which we could read, which is the Son of God, all laid out in Scripture, with a covenant from God himself. Now, therefore, you ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which you have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression disobedience to the just recompense reward, how shall we escape when we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing the witness with both signs and wonders, and divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Now notice, gifts of the Holy Ghost comes after the word. The others are the signs before the word to vindicate the coming word. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, where we speak. That's down there at the millennium in the New Jerusalem and so on. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, the Son of Man, you visit him. Now watch. Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every. Said man is in there, but that's not true. That's every son. That word should be in italics. For it became him from whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I'll declare thy name unto my brethren, and in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. That's unto God. And again, I'll put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Now, this is where Jesus himself is talking about his relationship to the Father, his birth, and his covenant relationship due to what he was given to do according to why he was birthed by God himself. So you see, Jesus is giving back to God God's own covenant word. Then what's wrong with you and me giving back to God his covenant word? In fact, that's the only word you can give back to God, because it's the only word that he will listen to. Why? Because he cannot be of two minds. So if God cannot be of two minds in that scripture, the point is, how can we try to get to his mind and do something about it? Brother Branham said, does God ever change his mind about the word? Absolutely not. He may deal with certain circumstances, but never ever changes his word, which endures and lives forever. Now, furthermore, forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same. His flesh and blood wasn't like ours. Now, it tells you right there, took a part of it. That through death he might destroy him or bring to nothing him that had the power of death, that's the devil. In other words, the power of death is something given, the authority given to the devil. It's a temporary thing. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on himself the nature of angel, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. It tells you right there that he stands between us and God, and all the work necessary has been done to deliver us to the kingdom. Grace, free gift. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to help them or succor them that are tempted. Now, what I want you to notice in here, first of all, verse 7. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man you visit him? Now it says right there, man and son of man. So you got a duality as far as I am concerned. Man and son of man. One is like Adam, you and me. One is like, and one is the son of man, which is the great prophet Messiah to come upon the scene. Thou made him a little lower than the angel and crowned him with glory and honor. And sent him over the work of thy hands. Now, did that happen to Adam and Eve? The answer is certainly it did. Certainly it happened. Now, remember, the devil came to Jesus and said, all this will I give you if you worship me. He said, forget it, I'm not interested. You only can only worship the Lord God. So that lets you know one thing. The minute that you listen to anything off the word, you are no longer worshiping God. That's axiomatic. That's axiomatic. From the fourth chapter of Matthew. You can't get around it. Now, that's verse 7. Now go down to verse, let me see what I want here. Verse 7 and verse 9. For we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. So up here, we find you made him a little lower than the angels. And down here again, you made him a little lower than the angels. There again I see, he's talking of man, and he's talking of Jesus. Now, you then realize, as you progress in Scripture, that the linking of Adam and the true seed of Adam, which came from God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, you get down then to verse 10 concerning the man, the effulgence, the one that was given a body, wherein God dwelt, according to the first chapter. Watch what it says here. For it became him, that one, from whom are all things? Now, by him God created all things, and by him all things are. Colossians says the same thing. All things are maintained and kept in their balance right today. You can't get around it. in bringing many sons unto glory, unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings, for both he that sanctifieth. Now the one sanctifying is Jesus. You're separated from God, you become perfectly separated to Jesus, that opens the door to God. Both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. So therefore, Jesus and every true Son of God, put out of your mind predestination, put out of your mind everything, just focus on the one thing. If you believe in children of God, born ones of God, it tells you right there positively that the Father of Jesus, not God the Son, but the Son of God, is absolutely our brother. No difference at all, except in magnitude. See, no difference at all. And his birth, the only begotten one, one of a kind, never more ever born this way. And remember, that word begotten is also used, the first begotten from the dead. Now you say, what about Lazarus? No way, he died again. The first one that rose from the dead to die no more absolutely is Jesus. The one to come back. And as I've told you before, you know that if a man rose from the dead, he could defuse every atomic bomb, every nuclear plant. He could drive everybody insane in 24 hours because he traveled faster than the speed of thought. Anywhere, everywhere at one time, literally. Blazing across the sky, pulling down suns, then setting up new ones. Do anything he wanted to. Why? Because he's in that particular position. You say, well, what if God intervened? Well, sure, God would intervene. That wouldn't matter. I'm just trying to show you the extent of the authority and power of the thing that would be in that man. So, those that are sanctified, those that come in under the blood of the one that died for them, absolutely no difference between the two, except, as Brother Branham said, except the way they came. Right. That birth, when there was nothing there, the Son came forth. The Son of God. Like a child playing round his father's doorstep. Now he begins to create all things. God by Christ Jesus creating all things. Now he's born. Different from you and me. Born without sex. Born by creation. And the life in that created sperm and egg. Coming together so you'd positively see God manifested in flesh. That's not you and I. No, we didn't have that. But this is the elder brother, the one of a kind, and you will notice the source is one particular source, and that is God. That's why the scripture all said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You never find the scripture saying, blessed be the Father God. No, you won't find it. Look in your Bibles. Blessed be the God and Father, or you could even take the word K, which is a conjunction, also a preposition. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that was always used to identify him. Even as we say today, I can look back and identify my God through the prophet William Branham. I absolutely worship and have to do with and only with that one who positively vindicated himself in a vindicated ministry, the God of William Branham, the God of Paul, the God of Moses, which is the God of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the continuity is absolutely perfect. So, Brother Branham then, now in verse 11, for both he that sanctified and they are sanctified are one source, one Father, and they are absolutely brothers. Now, not half-brothers, and not brothers by adoption. In other words, you weren't really a child of God, so God adopted you. Forget it. That's a lot of hogwash. The word adoption doesn't have anything to do with physical adoption as we know it today. It means putting in place, setting there as a son, getting back your authority, being where you should be. And that's what it is to buy back. Because when you redeem a thing, you restore it to where it was, to the owner, in its rightful place. We'll read that, I think, as I get to some notes here, quoting Brother Branham. So, this is the one Father, And that's all there is to it. Now, it's further emphasized in verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church, and they're the brethren, will I sing praise unto thee. In other words, I'll declare thy name unto the born ones. My born ones. In other words, born of God, absolutely the same as Jesus. In other words, the life that brought him is the same life that brought us. But we can never approximate it, so don't even try to even think about it. Then in verse 13 again, I'll put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me, the born ones which God hath given me. Now it tells you right there, even though we are of the same source, we've got the same Father, which is Almighty God, there's absolutely a difference in position. So now we have a headship and an authority over us. And that's exactly the truth. The head of a woman is man. The head of man is Christ. And the head of Christ is God. So we got a headship. Over the bride is Jesus himself. And when that spirit, Elohim, Jehovah Elohim, incarnates himself. Now where is he going to incarnate himself? Only one person I know of, and that's Jesus. The Lamb that's on the throne right now, stepping off the throne, coming to meet us in midair. And he'll incarnate himself in that one. And we'll have the crown of King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that will be the Son of David, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Rose of Sharon, Little Valley, altogether lovely. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Name it. 400 distinct titles. That's that one. But you see, he's still God in that Son. Now that's coming up shortly. So, we look at that. So, all right, you read on down. You could read down to verse 17, and then it says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Now notice, made. Doesn't say born like him, says made like him. So the cells were made, the germ cells were made, and proliferated through the chemistry of Mary. And he came forth. And this was the Son of God in a human form. Now God invades him at the River Jordan, and now it's God in a human form. So now you got a duality, Brother Branham said. Face it. This Son is not the Father, the Father is not the Son. This is the Son of the Father. And the Son said, lo, a body hast thou made for me. And God says, right, and I'm going to come into it. Then he left in the Gethsemane. I know why people got to get messed up. They get messed up because there's many things Brother Branham said and their mind go bluey. Whether it's a light or whether it's a pillar, whether it's this, when it was there, when it was other place. I don't care two bits where it was. All I know is anything the Son ever did or ever said, he had to do it by the authority and power of Almighty God. And there is a Son and there is a God the Father on the throne, and we're going to be around it. Now you can crisscross your minds back and forth and go blue in the face saying, Brother Bill, what was Brother Bill? Oh, shut up. Don't Brother Bill me. Get your own little milk wagon or something and feed yourself off of some milk. Hey, I'm sick and tired of all this going back and forth and back and forth. Forget it. What are you going to see at the New Jerusalem? God in the pillar of fire, the Son on the throne, the rest around the throne. What more do you want? Let's face it. What do you care how you get there as long as you get there? In plain English, if God said it, then believe it. That's all counts. I've got rid of all these feelings and ideas. I tell you one thing today. If I make it, I've already got it made. And if I don't make it, I never did have it made. So jump up and down all you want like a rooster on a hot brick. Cry and squawk as though you laid several eggs and there's nothing there when you look at the nest. Go ahead, do what you want. And I'm being sarcastic with good reason. But the simple reason is this. This is the word of the living God. It's not something you and I add to or take from. Because the minute you pervert it, because it changes the meaning, then it's all gone. Satan added one word, you will not die. But they did. I was going to talk on that tonight, but I'm going to leave that alone. Because we got Not that much time. Now, look in verse 18. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to help them that are tempted. That's the one called alongside. That's why the brother Branham said, Jesus came back in the form of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said himself, I will come. My Father will come. We will come. Did he come back as a human being with the nail scars? No, he did not. He came back as the Holy Ghost. You say, well, just a minute now. That negates everything. If he come back as the Holy Ghost, then he's not there. He can't be on the throne. What are you talking about? Are you ready to believe or not believe? He said, I will come. He said, my Father will come. Read John. It's in chapters 14, 15, and 16. Read them. Right through. He said, we're going to come. And Brother Branham categorically said he came back as the Holy Spirit. And remember, he is the Son of God, risen with power. Behold, all power is given unto me. That's it. You find that in the Gospels. And the Son of God with authority and power is over here in the first chapter of Romans. Read it for yourself. And if that's the case, you go to Matthew 12. And in Matthew 12, you find where he comes on the scene. He's not on the street. He's not brawling. He's not clenching the flax, breaking the reed. That's what he did 2,000 years ago, but he's not doing that. Now listen to me. Everything he did, everything he said, was by the Holy Ghost, God himself, and he can't change that. Who's doing it now? God's doing it. So he's come back as the Holy Ghost. You just sit around long enough, you'll get your answer. Don't let your mind go boom, 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 like neon lights. I can't get that. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I can get everything Brother Branham said, because I've got a God who answers according to this truth here. I don't know how you feel. What you feel doesn't bother me. What I feel shouldn't bother you. But I'm telling you what I know. Because that's the truth. He's risen without authority and power. And the authority and power always was God. I never do. I never say. I'm the image of God. Working through me, the only begotten one. And he hasn't changed that. And if you think he's changed that, I got news to you. How come he is intercessor and high priest? See, you can't get away from it. You can't get away from it. It's always the Father. It's always God. And he doesn't share his honor and glory with anybody. He doesn't share it. He gives it where he wants to give it. But he doesn't share. Oh, Lord, share this. Forget it. I'm going to give it. You know why? That's grace. Sure. Just start thinking. Put your thinking caps on. And get your words precise. Because there's a precision here that people don't want to go to. Now, let's look at the third chapter, just that one verse. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Now, we're confessing him, so all right, consider him. Put your full attention to it. Give it all your time. This is the important thing. This is the link back to God. And there isn't any other link. And remember, it's a sure thing because God was in this one reconciling and doing everything. And then he left him so the perfect sacrifice would be there. And Jesus, knowing he would get the glory he once had and a greater glory and redeem all of these children back to God, he stood there and died a horrible death, as Brother Branham said, the most horrible death. And remember the tape I played here some time ago that I got from Dr. Dobson where showed you the terrible tragedy of those that die upon a cross. And remember, on top of that, he was completely alienated from God, separated. And the darkness that even the sun hid its face from him. And he died there in agony. And then his soul went down to Hades, that'd be upper Hades, or Sheol, whatever you want to call it. The spirit went back to God who gave it, and the body they placed in the grave. And because that body was conceived in such a way And the genes were there in that body to show forth this was truly God bodily manifested in flesh. That flesh didn't rot. Within 3 days, the life came back and he rose and pushed that stone aside. Now they're trying to tell you they really got the shroud of Turin, which Christ was really in, and they found some pollen in there that proves. Forget it. I wouldn't be surprised they might use that down the road for some great miracles. Fool everybody. You know why? Because people forget, and I can prove it to you. If I wanted to, you were the kind of people that you wanted to follow me, I could get up here and get you so excited, so excited, so excited, you'd be healed by excitement. It would swing right into a type of faith. You think it can't be done? It can be done. It's psychologically proven. And I've seen it happen. Oh, yeah, just get ribbed up. You'd be like the woman in England I heard about years ago. She was crippled. She had a little baby. I guess that she was crippled after the baby was born or at the time was born. And the little baby, she did lost track minute, and he fell in the canal. She let a scream and she jumped out of the chair. How'd that woman, little, what is she, hardly 100 pounds, pick up 3,000 pounds? Go ahead, be my guest. Did they pray? No, they didn't pray. Didn't have time to pray. I don't think. Maybe they did somehow, but I don't believe it. No. We understand these things that people don't understand because they don't understand. He's the high priest. He's the assurance. Jesus rose to make sure we get the contents of his will, which was already completely written in heaven by God, the covenant of the Father and the Son, and it included us. So therefore, we are pawns on the chessboard. You say, oh, I don't believe it. Can the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Who art thou, man, to reply against God? You don't believe in predestination? You will. Too late. You will. They'll believe. They'll believe. That's what they hate. They can't stand. They cannot stand what I have read to you. Now, all right. I've read you this. So we go a little further to identification. Herein lies the message of identification. Just what I read to you and talked about. Here is identification. And Brother Branham greatly emphasizes the exact meaning of the word redeem as applies to Messiah. Redeem means to buy back or restore something that already was there in a certain position but is no longer in the possession and position of the rightful owner or place. So, we have this one here, the high priest, the Redeemer. And he is our elder brother, born in a way that you and I were not, but identical to us as to the fact of being a true part of God or the true life of Almighty God in our own position. But as per quality, essentiality, no difference at all. He may be the Pacific Ocean, and we, one little drop of that same ocean, but it's identical. The ocean does not bear any other chemicals than the one drop. If it's just that ocean, not somebody sinking a barge full of oil. Junk like that. So get that out of your mind. We're talking about the pristine condition of the oceans. When all was exactly the same. He would be the Pacific Ocean. We might be considered, oh, a little bit like one of the lakes that, or a little inlet, you know, with that water there. So, all right. Redeem means to buy back and restore to the rightful owner and to the proper position. Under no condition does it mean to randomly purchase an article or articles or just any person in the slave market, pay the price asked, and then set the person free, and even go so far as to give him a position. That is absolutely erroneous. That is free thinking. It won't work. Arminianism is wrong. Only Calvinism, as we call it, which is based on predestination, is right. The Redeemer redeemed or paid the price and set only those free who were in the Father, even as he was, or put it, a part of the very life of God. Because he's talking about brethren. He's talking about born ones. He's talking about those who evidently have the same Father that he has, though when they compare the magnitude of the only begotten one, they feel so inferior that they doubt very much if they possibly could be of God, having compared their lives to his. They say, oh, no, I can't accept that. But you see, it's still the truth. Now, that's what Brother Branham's teaching. That's identification. Hebrews 2 declares this, as I read to you. And chapter 3 and the succeeding chapters, as we look to page 8 and we read paragraph 60. He is the Redeemer. I don't say this to hurt now or to be different. I don't preach doctrine. Well, I kind of think that's a slider. A knuckleball. But a curve. But let me ask you something. If he is Redeemer, a Redeemer is to pick up that which has fallen, to redeem back to a place where it was at the beginning, so none will be picked up but them that were in his thoughts at the beginning. He came to redeem, and not this cannon fodder that we see around professing to be Christians. And remember, thou shalt not bear the name of the Lord God in vain. In vain means uselessly. Right. Or take it as though you had some right to it, when you don't. But that he came to redeem what was in God's thinking at the beginning. Now, Brother Branham is talking foreknowledge here, which precedes predestination, and the linking is election, and it's going over their heads. He's preaching very, very sound doctrine. Oh, absolutely. The other is just something that makes around to show the statue. In other words, you're kind of going to a park, and there's something very definitive there, like you might say a statue. And all this other stuff is just gathered around it. So you got a genuine redeemed bride and everything cluttered around it called Christians. And if you pick up almost any paper, religious and otherwise, you'll find that there is a great to-do about these celebrities, especially sports stars, who are telling you how they're born again, and even the judge and their adulteries and their literal pig-pukeism. I hope you get what I'm talking about. Oh, they're Christians. Hallelujah. Right. Yeah. Now, down here in Dayton, you got a doctor of somebody, Lori or something. She's a sweet black woman. I'm nothing against color or anything like that. But she's also a minister. So they're going to make her head of the school system. I like that, because now we're combining religion and politics. What's going to happen? Oh, glory to God. There's always something good to cheer me up, you know. I love those little jokes in there. This other is just something that makes around to show the statue. See, it's a garden, a flower garden. It plays its part. But the statue is what you want to see. You know, Brother Brown hits us right on the head. I've been to many a park, and many in like over in Sweden, they've got a park over there where there's a person that wrote wonderful children's stories, and they had a sculptor come in there and make all these sculptures. and the statues, and you go there to see them, and my, is there sure a pretty park. Hey, it makes it look nice. But I never came to see the park. I came to see all this work that these guys did. And I saw it, but I enjoyed the park too. Well, you know, that's how it is. He's telling you, hey, it's very, very nice, and it's cannon fodder. Actually, it's valueless. And when it's all over, they'll move the statues and level the park. If they want to. You see what I mean? Okay. Now, it brings it, but the statues, what you want to see, the statue of Christ, that was God projected to the earth in the form of a man. Well, now when you project something, it sticks out. You think Brother Branham's great vindicated ministry didn't stick out like 14 sore thumbs on a two-toed church? Ho, projection, it sticks out. You bet it did. It projected right out, stood right there. That's what Jesus did. Even I had an experience I told you about, which is really, really funny. I was praying for the sick back in Canada, back in New Westminster, and a fellow sat in the congregation. I was up there discerning and praying, and I even demonstrated, which is, I shouldn't have done it. But, you know, I happened to catch on by the fact, if there's a rolling pain in your body, it's invariably a devil. Then I read where Jeeva Ratnam found that out in India. And so I was very gratified. And I talked to the boy, and I said, you've got a pain here and a pain. Yeah, I said, it's a spirit. Well, cast it out, you're going to be all right. And I said, I'll make that spirit move. And I did. And after the meeting goes over, the guy Monday said, he said, tell me by what authority do you do this? And I said, first of all, you tell me, do you have the authority to do it? He said, yes. I said, can you do it? He said, no. Well, I said, that's strange. You've got the authority to do it and can't do it, and I've got no authority according to you, and I can do it. He's a Mormon. And I wasn't even supposed to do things like that. But it tickles me, I did. Lord, forgive me, I blush. But that's one time I'm kind of happy with my sin. It was the sin of ignorance. The Lord did. I know God forgives, so look, it's not a great big deal. You see? But that, you see, there it is. It sticks out like a sore thumb. So I know a little bit what Brother Branham's talking about. He's talking about the fact, and we'll see a little later on here, I guess by tomorrow, if not tonight. Won't get that far. Your Brother Brown was actually talking about himself. His own identification. And we, recognizing that identification, know that we are worshiping the one and true God in spirit and in truth. So they were 100% right. Your Brother Bill, maybe we're 99%. Then you're not going to get there. Because one word off be 99%. And Brother Branham said the greatest lie in the world is 99% true. Huh? You got to believe or forget it. This is either it or forget it. You can't depend upon your emotions and all those things and nothing to do with it. The statue. That was God projected to the earth in the form of a man. Now, he also said, this same prophet, that God was obligated to do for the Gentiles what he had done for the Jews. Matthew 4 and Matthew 12. He also said it was a promise the last day that God would be manifested once again in human flesh. God and the prophet, William Branham. Stuck out like a sore thumb. Nobody had what he had. And nobody wanted it. Except the miracles and the works. They show off. Hallelujah, show me. See, look what I'm doing. Look what I'm doing. Look what I'm doing. Not knowing, Matthew 7, depart me, I never knew you. And they'll all tell you in Pentecost and the rest of the churches that those people once were redeemed, but you see, you can lose yourself, and they were backslidden, and they died in that condition. Well, ain't going to hold water, brother, sister, because that happens to do with false teaching. It doesn't have to do one thing with your morals, how sweet, how good, how kind, how anything you are. It has to do with your teaching. And if you are operating gifts of spirit outside of the teaching of the truth, the true doctrine of God, you are one of those people. You do what you want about it. Look, the thing is, I don't have to apologize to anybody. Why would I apologize and say, people, I hate to say this, but you know, it hurt my brother's mind. I'm not hurt one way or the other. Nothing to do with me. Hey, this has nothing to do with me. I never wrote it. I never understood it. I never preached it. I do now. It has nothing to do with me. Put it on William Branham. I'm quoting from him, am I not? Okay. Now, then in paragraph 61, no, he said here, the statute, what you want to see, that's the one. The other, this other is just makeup for it. You know, it's got to be around it. It has to be. There's got to be error. There's got to be 99% correct. There's got to be the great error. It's got to be so close it's a razor blade difference. And it's got to be so far that it stinks. And nobody'd want it. Okay. 61. Now this reflected. Well, reflect means to give back the image. So if you really want to know what God's like, God was seen in his loving, noble character. God reflected in a man called Jesus Christ. He was the only one that could do this. There was no other character in heaven could do it. See, it was God. He was the sinless nature. He was the Word. Sinless nature, God. He was the Word expressed, which was God, which was the Word in the beginning. Now, he's talking about God himself being in that individual, making it a duality. And now watch, if you are in the Lamb's Book of Life, you are God's expression from his thought. He saw you and saw your desire before there even was an atom of anything else. And you're his thought made word and expressed into what you are now. Amen. That's God in you reflecting Christ. You know what I mean. Well, certainly. And the Word of God will tell us how to sow, to reap, and the Holy Spirit will help us to do it. Now, we're not like Jesus, but we do have that lower stature, being children of the living God. Now, you notice in here it says, if you were in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, that always puzzled me because I was of the Baptist, Pentecostal, and God knows what tradition, that there were two books. They're not. And if you just listen carefully, Lamb life was the beginning of humanity. The serpent was absolutely animal. And I don't care how close he was in the flesh to Adam and Eve. I'm not interested how close he was. Believe me, he was a razor blade difference. That's all. Because in the flesh, he could take Eve and have a child by her. And if there had been a Mrs. Serpent, I don't know. There certainly must have been. In my books, the Adam could have had intercourse with her and had a baby by her. They'd have just mixed it all up. See? Now, Lamb life was first because God breathed into Adam the breath of lives and he became a living soul. He was not that before. He was merely a spirit-formed man. A part of him was spirit with great power and authority. Then he was put into a body, and then God breathed the Holy Spirit into him. And he says, now he became a living soul and the breath of lives. And that's why Brother Branham said, you are in God, but you are in your Father. So therefore, the posterity comes down by human flesh. And it says right there, it goes finally in the scripture, the genealogy, and it says Enos, or Seth, was the son of Adam, and Adam was the son of God. So therefore God breathed into Adam, making him a son, giving him a life in his sperm, which was absolutely a life of God, say what you want to do, and he brought it down. And Brother Branham categorized time after time, you're in your Father. He wanted fellowship with you. And therefore, by the sacred bedding grounds, your mother, he brought forth you and had fellowship. You can't have your cake and eat it. If you're eating sponge cake today, it's not fudge cake. Sponge cake and fudge cake are two different kinds. Don't try to bring them together. You're going to have a flop. Won't work. So you got to follow the genealogy right down, right the way it was. Lamb life was first. And into that lamb life, the body was injected the other life. So now you got a mixed up bunch of lump of clay. And two lives are in there. And science has positively proven two fathers, one mother. What are you going to do about it? Well, pretty soon they're going to try to find out. Don't worry, they're smart people in the religious world. Even though poor old Malachi Martin is dead, man, I feel sorry that guy's gone. I really miss him. Because I figure he could spread the dope on the dirt on the Catholic Church like nobody else. Now he's gone, but you watch. There's going to come a day when they're going to try to figure out by the blood who is that little teeny part of a percent. Who gives a rip? The foundation of God stands that you're having this seal. The Lord knoweth them which are His. Not some bunch of hoodlums messing around. Okay. We keep on reading from paragraph 61 and 2 and down to 3. Now I hope that doesn't interfere with nothing or anything, you see. And I wouldn't want to say anything contrary to what you've been taught. But just so you'd understand what I'm trying to get here, a reflection. See, something like a mirror bouncing back. You bounce it on the mirror bounces it back. In other words, he's telling you something here that there is a reality. There is a reality here. You've got to be identified. See, an identification is the second chapter of Hebrews. Right? Absolutely. And if you are, and if you were in God's thinking at the beginning, see, and was His reflection here on earth, in other words, God using you to show forth Himself somehow in some way, and that's exactly what we're supposed to be. We're ambassadors for Christ. And the word's all written how we're supposed to sow a certain way, as I said before I took this message on tape talking to you people here, how that we are dual citizens of dual kingdoms, and we got to obey the laws of the land the same as the laws of God, and you cannot disobey the laws that are just and right in the land. They were meant to keep people right and stop evil and bad things. You cannot depart from them and say, well, I believe God, I'm a free agent, hell, I'm under grace. No, you're not. No, hallelujah at all. Not around here. And what's His reflection here on earth? You'll bear record of the heavenly. All right. What record are you going to bear of the heavenly? Thy word is reserved forever in the heavens. God behind His word. And when you look in that ark up there, there's only one thing. There's no manna, which is a type anyway. And there's no Aaron rod that budded. It's a type of indication. But what is there? The Word of the living God is there. Check it for yourself. See? Bear record of the heavenly. And remember, we are those that have the same confession of Christ. And what was His confession? Word, 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 word. Nothing else. And as He bore record of the heavenly also, and when He raised up from the grave and was given a body, when we raise up, we will have a body like His own glorious body. Now watch what that record that we bring forth, that word that we bring forth from the heavenly, that record. As you bring that forth, it will bear record of you in the resurrection. How in the world then can you say anything outside of this word in which alone has life and be in that resurrection? You tell me. And if you got it, how can you miss it? Merciful God, there's something wrong somewhere, and it sure ain't with me. That is my preaching. With me, sure, there's lots wrong. My heaven, I got my system's so mixed up, I don't know. I've been through a centrifuge or a mix master. But it doesn't matter. At least my thinking is right. My brain's been baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, when we raise up, now watch, we'll have a body like His own glorious body. Now watch then what Jesus confers upon us by His death, resurrection, and the high priesthood He's got standing before God to make sure we get it. We do not get His position. We do not become archangels. We become exactly what we are, and what we get is what? Glorified body. And that's the scripture. You're sealed unto the day of redemption of your body. As Brother Branham brought out here, as I read you previously, how it is that being a part of God, you understand that you'll come a day when you know you always were saved. It isn't that part of you that's a life of God that needs redemption. It's you being placed back as that person you were in the economy of God, which was a son or a child of God, doing the will of God, reigning and ruling where He puts you and me. Sure, don't worry, that reigning and ruling is not you and me trying to find authority over anybody, but is ruling and reigning over our own selves and the proportion or the portion that God gives us in the millennium, wherever that is. Now have a body like His own glorious body. The resurrection is sure. Why, how is it sure? Can't help but be. It's been bought and paid for. It's a guarantee. And we have it's guaranteed to us. And we have the earnest of it now as the Holy Spirit comes in and listen and identifies us as God's redeemed person. And that's one word in three. God's redeemed person. Not God's redeemed person. It's God's redeemed person. See, that's a big difference. You don't think so? Just sit a while and think about it. See, it makes it very personal. Something that God did. And you're that person of God that God redeemed. And you're a part of God. And you already had a position. A place. Amen. So let it be. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, you're sealed until the journey's over. That is your token that you hold that shows that your fare has been paid. You are a redeemed character. Satan has no business with you, none whatever. Just pick up your token and show him my healing is paid for, my trip to glory. And even if you don't do it, you still are or you aren't. If you went right back on this, and did evil things, as we know that Solomon did and David did and a lot of people did. Even Luther raised up, he got people and so incited that caused a war and then he backed off from the peasants' rebellion. He said the Jews are such a big bunch of mutts, they should be exterminated. Then Hitler tried to do it. You don't look at anybody. Oh, even Wesley was a nice guy, but when Winfield said, listen, my brother, let us not fuss and argue. I believe in predestination. You believe in free will. Let us not cause issues. Let us not cause a split. It was Winfield that taught him how to go John taught him how to go out in the fields of England, preach the gospel of God, and old Luther, Wesley stands up and goes, and he fought him. And Wesley preaching, except for his great vigor and verb that he had, he was a lousy preacher. But I never found any time he said he ever preached a sanctified holy like the Nazarenes and Methodists do. And I'll tell you flat, except for Brother Branham being anointed by God, completely vindicated and pointing out that Wesley was the one, I'd have gone for Whitfield. So a lot of others. But Wesley's the guy. But I'm bringing up, you don't look at him and say, oh, well, just a minute now. You don't just a minute in anything. This is all of God. It's all of God. Grace is all of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Wesley cannot boast. As Paul said, Abraham, he's got great works, he says. And Abraham can boast of his great works. Look what he did. But not before God. Oh, no. And Abraham's faith was tried. And he got great rewards because he went all the way. He messed up with having a son by Hagar. Forget her. What a mess. But he had a son by Sarah. He's supposed to have by Sarah. Just the same as Adam was supposed to have one by Eve. Then she let the serpent come in. And after Abraham comes, now you find God building toward a people of flesh. And if they'd have listened to him in the Holy Land, he could have bred them back to human beings. And don't tell me he couldn't. He could have. Why? Because God knows of the male ejaculate and the female eggs. She's got 250,000 sitting there and thousands of hairs that could be millions. And a man's got millions in the ejaculate. Tell me how God picked each one of you out tonight. Virgin birth is nothing compared to that. That's just God creating a little bit here and there. Brother Branham himself said so. I'm not being ridiculous and trying to poo-poo the thing. I'm just telling you Brother Branham said. if you don't pick up your token. You know, you can be a miserable person like Brother Branham had this girl in his ministry, and she was healed, but she died. She knew she was going to die. And Brother Branham was very upset. And God said, let me tell you something. He let Brother Branham mope. Then one day he said, I'm going to show you something. He said, she's living in sin. I cleaned her up. She could have died in that boat accident. I cleaned her up. But she wouldn't lift me. I cleaned her up again, and she's gone. And you tell predestination, you tell me. Come on, come on, come on. Wake up. Smell the heavenly coffee. Amen. Get you wide awake. Predestination. Absolutely. He's going to get you there. A token is what you used to ride on a bus line or an airplane. Your ticket is your token seat. Yep. In other words, let's face it. That token is a substance which goes far beyond the substance. In other words, the Holy Ghost baptism takes you far beyond your ceiling in. Far, far beyond it. Right to the beautiful celestial city. Realms of glory. And things which you and I know not. And we couldn't know them. There's no way. And it wouldn't do any good anyway because we're not ready for it. Oh, my Brother Branham said, he said, how can I teach the women about gifts, he said, and those things, he said, any more than I can teach them algebra without knowing the alphabet and previous mathematics. He said, you can't teach them algebra. Spiritually speaking, take your token, you're redeemed. The blessing of the Holy Spirit, and if Satan tries to push something on you, just show this. That's your identification. The identification. Positively. In plain English, the blood cleanses you from all sin, purges you, the Holy Ghost seals you in, and if that blood was shed for you and has purged you of sin, there is no way the Holy Ghost will not come in. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't say one thing about tarrying. It doesn't say one thing about this, that, and the other thing. It says, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's it. And if you're one of His redeemed, you will be there. You've got your token, absolutely, and you will grow up into that stature, adding word upon word. That's what Brother Branham said, that that's what we believe, and that's what we know to be the truth. People have got it all backwards. They don't want the vindicated word of God. Amen. You are identified in the resurrection of Christ. You're going to be there. You're identified in His death. Wonderful. You were there. When you die, you're identified in His resurrection. And by that, it identifies you that you were with Him before the foundation of the world because you are redeemed. That means bought back or brought back. All the Father's given me will come, and no man can come unless he, the Father, has given it in the beginning. How far do I want to read? Oh, I got my notes here. I got to watch it. Page 860 down there. Next page, page 9. Okay, I guess I'll keep reading. Now notice, He was sinless to take the place of the sinful, the antidote. He was without sin so that He might redeem sinners. God was expressed in Him and properly identified Himself in Him. Now notice. Now you see, right there you can understand what Brother Branham is saying, that God was in Christ redeeming the world. God was in Christ reconciling. You say, Brother Branham, do you say God identified Himself? He did. In the beginning, St. John, in the beginning was the Word is with God. Now a word has to be a thought before it's a word, because a word is a thought expressed. In the beginning was the Word is with God, and the Word was God. See? And the Word is made flesh and dwelt among us. That's what Brother Branham said. If you make Jesus the Word, then you got three gods. At least you have at least two of them. You can't do it. What he's saying here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God. In plain English, this is what he's saying, that God, who is invisible and cannot be apprehended, cannot be comprehended, what he did, he placed himself in a form that could be apprehended and comprehended so that man could come to God and they'd have their proper relationship and their fellowship and enjoy God forever. God, in other words, expressed himself. Now, you understand as well as I do that before Brother Branham came on the scene, we had thoughts that were about God. And the thoughts were, well, God is a Trinity. No, God is a oneness. He's His own Father. But when God manifested Himself, came into being in a prophet and showed Himself, and said, I am one God, and I have a Son, an only begotten Son. And you all were in me, him the same as he was, but you came different from the way he came. I'm telling you, this is it. Now, that's it. Now you got it. God, the Word, completely manifested and declared, as Brother Branham said, my ministry declared that he is here to fully expose him, to fully teach him, and to fully let you know. And without that, everything Brother Branham did would be completely mystical and mystifying. And we'd draw our own conclusions and say, well, I can do that too. Oh, I'm going to stand and watch Brother Branham, and I'll get a little clue. I get a little clue, and I'll learn this. No, no, no. It was God manifesting himself. It was the Word. God the Word, once more, the Heavenly Father. Yep, not the Son. The Son of Man ministry came to us. In other words, the same as when Jesus was upon earth and Brother Branham said he had more success in my ministry than he had in his own. What's he talking about? He's talking about God in Christ, God in the prophet. God expressed himself, properly identified himself in him. Now notice, Brother Branham, you say God in him. Okay, identified. Now, Hebrews 4, see, the Word of God is sharper and more powerful than any two-edged sword, cutting asunder, cutting both coming and going, cut asunder, and a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. And when he did that, that's how the prophet, now, ha, see, we're getting to where Brother Branham is going to throw the ball at him. I am the one you listen to. I'm identified. I am that prophet this hour. See, right there, he's going to hit him right now. He starts it right there. Now, and when he did that, that's how the prophets were identified, because God would speak and tell them just what was wrong and what was going on. See, that is the identification of the Word of the hour being made manifest. In other words, God being manifest, God manifest in human flesh, comes right through the prophet. Now, you cannot deny that that's scriptural. You could say, Brother Bale, it's scriptural, but he's twisting it. Oh, wonderful. Then you untwist it. And prove you can untwist it. See, I was with the prophet a long time. You people weren't. I could sat with him. I slept with him. We talked doctrine. In fact, he broke serpent seed to me before he ever broke to the public. He said, what do you think about it? Well, I've sort of heard about that, but the thing is, I don't care what happened. I believe it was some kind of disobedience that did it. But he said, Leah, there's got to be a seed. I missed it. See, tell me, you unscramble me. Now, I'm saying this because this tape goes out. And you'd be surprised the phone calls I get and how I hear from people, through people, how they're saying, for the first time, I'm understanding. My God, in 30-some years, the first time they're understanding. I could unload tonight and tell you some things that I know about certain preachers. I won't bother. Liars, 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 hypocrites, deceivers, destroyers of mankind, antichrist, professing the Word of God. Don't tell me when I talk, but I got the letters right at home. I haven't thrown them away either. I can face people left and right around this country. They don't believe it. Now, let me tell you something. The Word being manifest for this hour. How much time we got? 30? Yeah, we'll preach all night. No service tomorrow. Okay. I want to go to the book of Acts. And I want to show you something here. I said it in my prayer, but I'm going to say it from the scripture here. And over here, in the third chapter, it says here in verse 18, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer has so fulfilled. Now, he didn't show that God had showed it by the brains or by the words, by the mouth. In other words, this was a complete mouth deal. No brains, no thoughts, no intimations, but the man's mouth literally flapped in the breeze and he heard what he was saying at the same time the rest of the people heard it. Now, if you ever had that happen, I have, you'll know what I'm talking about. You hear yourself talking, you're stunned. And I remember that happened the last time in Don Rutter's church, when out of my own mouth came the words, you were not looking at a man, you were looking at God. Now, what do you think of that? How would you like to be in my position? I'm a preacher standing up there. The deity cult's all around. Leave deity cult. I should have said, but I didn't say. Okay, mouth keep talking. But I didn't. And the body said, what was it? It was God in the man. I was 100% right. 100% right. I'm 100% right. I'm not angry at you. But these things come upon me and anger rises up because people don't want to believe. And I'm as bad as they are. The devil will throw everything at us. All right, I said right here, their mouth. That's what they were doing. God was mouthing off in a prophet. The prophets were the mouths of God. Those things, by the mouth of all the prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. It's over! It's dead manna. In other words, you talk about Christ dying. What about him having risen? What's he doing now? What's going on today? I'm not denigrating the cross. I'm just telling he died once for all. It's over. Now where do you go? To the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the things of Almighty God. Repent ye therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And Brother Branham identified that as the last day healing revival. Well, what right? He's vindicated. So that's the last day healing revival. This is a great sign of a word to come. Now we'll prove it here. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was preached unto you. Not just preach, he was ordained. Now watch, whom the heavens must receive, that's retain, actually, until the times of restoration, a restitution, restoration, same word, of all things, and that word in the Greek is rhēs, which means word. Until the restoration of all word, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now watch. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, the prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him you shall hear in all things, whatsoever he shall send to you. And it'll come to pass that every soul that will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. That didn't happen. That didn't happen. Back there. They weren't all destroyed. Whole bunch of them got away. Whole bunch of them left. There was just a certain amount destroyed back there. At the same time, the bruised reed, he didn't break. He broke it back there. The smoking flax, he did quench. You show me that the Jewish religion is going to raise up again and be anything. If they do get a temple, what good's it going to do? They're looking for a Messiah. So if they build the temple, they got to look for Messiah again. And if they build the temple, no doubt he come. There's the nail prints. Not really. No, we couldn't have happened, but it did happen. See how it's all working out? Don't be fooled by things, brother, sister. Let's go over the word of God and stay with it. It come to pass that every soul which shall not hear that prophecy will be destroyed from among the people. Yea, now listen, yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, and those that follow after, as many have spoken, have likewise foretold these days. You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindred of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. The first, what about God raising up the second time? He said first. Now, I'm going to quote you, take you to where Brother Branham took you time after time. He always took you to Samuel. Why? Because William Branham did not bring the word. He merely revealed the word, the same as Samuel. And Brother Branham quoted Samuel every time. When did I tell you a lie? When did I take your money? He always quoted Samuel. And yet he aligned himself absolutely with Moses and Paul and now himself. Three. But it tells you right here, destroy everybody. Destruction can only come at the end time. And it can only come to the Gentiles through a prophet, and it can only come to the Jews through Jesus. And it's all over. There's your picture. Now, if I'm not getting it perfectly right, I'm getting right enough where you know that I know what I'm talking about. Because I'm putting the whole thing together, and that's what's happening. Now, the hour of being made manifest. That's right today. Now notice, paragraph 72, he was the fullness of God's word, for he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All right, now let's just stop here right a minute or two. And I will, because I can sort of go over this tomorrow if I'm back here and you're back here, which unfortunately I think that'll happen. I don't know if the rapture is going to take place that quick. All right. We have the understanding by people. And Brother Branham was not a part to it, was not a part of it. He went to what they call the kenosis. And he talked about the fact of God pouring into Christ so that God, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, was in this man Jesus. And that's exactly true. And then he went on to say that God poured into Jesus, he poured into the church. And so you find people eliminating God, eliminating Jesus, and coming to the church, which is now the Elohim of God. Well, I have a bone to pick with them. And I'm going to go to the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. And Ephesians, the fourth chapter, I'm going to start reading at verse 12. Now, it first of all, up here it tells you that God did all of this. There's one God, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, above all, and so all, and in you all. He's in through all and in you all. Now, how can he be in every one of us? Only by a measure of his Spirit. Because the Spirit is given by measure to you and me, but it's not given by measure to Jesus. In other words, it's measureless. Now, he gave gifts to the church, apostles, prophets, and so on. Now watch. For the perfect, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, that means for the equipping of the saints, making them whole and they have nothing missing. Nothing missing. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Now that's right back in the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. It tells you that cannot come until the baptism with the Holy Ghost era is over. So the baptizer himself, as Brother Branham says, comes on the scene. You got justification, sanctification, baptism, and then the baptizer. Is that what he said? That's what he said. Now, unto a perfect man, that's a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, or holding the truth, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto edifying of self and love. It tells me right there the bride has a body and the body has a head. So how could God have poured everything into the bride when the head is outside the body? And Brother Branham categorically told us of that, of the headship, the head is apart from the body, and the body must be ready for the head to come down, or there won't be a resurrection. Then how can God have poured all of Christ into the church? Hogwash. They're a bunch of liars, and they flabbergast me by their stupidity, and their idolatry, and their presumption. How dare they say that everything was poured into the bride and now the bride stands here and got it all and we're going to bring about a resurrection. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. I'll say, they better say we're all going to go to hell that believes this. I've read it to you. I've read it to you. And headship is here, which is God himself is here. Why? Because it's woman, man, Christ, God. It is what? All the ones that were in Adam, they stand there. Now, you got a bride, and the head of the bride is Jesus the Christ, and the head of him is God. Amen. And that's exactly at the New Jerusalem and the New Earth. What is this nonsense? I get so fed up with their puerile bunch of junk. Why aren't they doing something now? They've not even got the gifts and those things that follow the word. Where is somebody can discern spirits and stand outside the door and people inside be having gifts of spirit under control? Where is it? Talk, 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 talk. Hogwash. It's always something down the road. You know what? Looking forward, looking backward, never knowing what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on right now. The building up of the bride in Jesus Christ, word upon word. Sure, the last one soon will be in to be child trained. Okay, watch in verse 72. He was the fullness of God's word, for he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He was God in human form. You tell me the church, the bride, is God in human form? Bunk. A bride is a woman married to a man, so the man's got to be there. What is this hogwash anyway? And it took God to express such a character as this. And then that lovely life had to be taken from him so that he could save these that God's foreknowledge saw in the beginning, which were his thoughts of you and me. Jesus came to do that. His perfect life had to be sanctified to redeem that person or persons, of course. Then if they do, you were with God in his thoughts at the beginning. How can you deny his word being true when you are part of the word? In other words, you're bound to recognize it. Have you ever seen a cat that doesn't recognize a cat and dog doesn't recognize a dog and a hummingbird recognize a hummingbird? And a flea recognize a flea, and a butterfly, another certain type of butterfly, if it's only ilk and kind. See, you're going to stand here and say, I'm a part of God, and not be a part of the word, not be a part of that thought, not be a part of that manifestation, not be a part of him who stands behind the verbal word and in the book to perform it, and then you not agree with it, and you're part of the word? Oh, come on. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. He said, amen, certainly. He said, a vindicated property. He said, that's by vindication I'm telling you this. They couldn't make no mistake about it. He said, it's not me who does the works, it's my Father that dwells in me. They asked Brother Branham, tell us in Janine, when he said, he that's seen me has seen the Father. He said, you're looking at me, aren't you? Same thing. Not William Branham does all these works of perfect, tells these things that come to pass exactly as said. He said, it's God. And then as I quoted already, he said he had more success in my ministry than his own. Why? Because greater works than he shall he do. So when the Bible says he is a single person, it means God's obligated to raise up that person. Why, he's obligated to do it. He's obligated. He said it. So he got to do it. When did Jesus have a Mount Carmel show down to the Gentiles? He only had it to the Jews. Brother Branham had different Mount Carmel showdowns, at least two of them, the big one in India. The world said, "What? Nobody even knew about it." Well, how much did the world know about it happening in Jerusalem? Well, God's got to do so-and-so. Who said God's got to do so-and-so? Read the book and find out what God's going to do. And God's got to do what he said he would do. Have it. You're not going to have it your way. I'm not going to have it my way either. Now where are we going from here? All right. We stopped on paragraph 2. And we talked about the body. Okay, now on page 10, the two lines at the top there, I just read them, vindicated properly. And we can read a little further then. Now, we find out that in the great city today, the people about understanding God, God in three persons, God is three attributes of God, like three offices of God above us in the Holy Spirit up there in the pillar of fire. And God made flesh, dwelt among us, a man that we could touch and handle. Now God in the church, God above you, God with you, God in you. See, the same God, three different manifestations, the same God. Now he doesn't say that the church has absorbed God. He doesn't say that. And then the question comes up now. The Catholic said, God's in the church. The brother said, hold it. God's not in the church. He's in his word. Now, is he contradicting himself? No way. He can't, because through Christ, we are worshiping God. And today, Elohim is in our midst. Well, what midst? Some here, some there, some everywhere. Who knows? But the church hasn't absorbed him. He's given his life to the church. What we need to do is absorb the word and get more and more of that, see? Now, notice, make no mistake. His sinless nature expressed God's word. And the only way you'll ever be able to express God's word that you believe it and watch it act behind you, you'll have to have that sinless nature that came from God, or comes from God. Before the foundation of the world, you were recognized with him. Before the word can ever express itself through you, it takes a sinless nature to do that. Now, Brother Branham categorically is telling people the way to victory. And the way to victory is the realization of who you are and the identification thereof. The same thing he talked about the black slave. There was a prince. His dad was a king. And he conducted himself as a prince because he was a prince. Now, what he's saying right here is that the word is going to give you that stature that you and I are looking for. As Brother Branham said, you pile word upon word. And in the final stages, we know that God, who is love, comes down and the headstone is here. He said so after the capstone is here. And he said the ministry at the end time had to be so perfect that the capstone could come down. Well, God, the capstone already was down, but that ministry it took to bring on the perfection whereby the bride could have this perfect faith and take her up and be out of here, and our own capstone personal, the person of Jesus Christ himself, indwelt by the Father, comes right down. We got a perfect pyramid. We got a perfect one, the perfect bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all there together. So much till he was the word in full. The word of God flowed through him so freely that he could even speak a word. It would create. See, that showed who he was. Who can create but God? Now, Brother Branham is talking about himself again right here, because he talks about creating the squirrels two times. God's the only creator there is. And so he was so perfect in harmony, him and the word, and so perfectly together until he created. Even he and the word being one. He quotes Einstein on that and different ones, how that they said these things that would definitely show that man through faith in God could create. No other nature could do this. No nature could. No character. Nothing in the heavens. Nothing else could do that but him. For he was the beginning of that character, Savior. The angel was born a Savior. He was created a being to worship God, not a Savior. But in God was a Savior. An ordinary man born of ordinary woman couldn't be a Savior because his nature is carnal. But it took God himself. Amen. I hope you see it. Look. That was the expression or the image to manifest such a character as that. That would be the virgin-born Christ and God in that body. For others, it was a fallen character. Nothing could save. The angels weren't created for such. Man was a fallen character. Look, to show us the ones that he thought of, his thoughts are the Christians of today. The thoughts before the foundation of the world. Now remember, man, when he was born in sin, shaped iniquity, comes to the world speaking life. Now, Job quotes that, so that's true. He's a liar from the beginning. Is that right? There's nothing in him at all. So you see, if he was in God's thoughts, when he come to the world, he's come to God's thoughts at the beginning to display his attribute. You follow me. Now, what you're looking at here, you have to understand that Brother Branham is not preaching like the Armenians. They were all reprobates. We're all goats. By some divine alchemy, we get changed. He's not saying that. When he tells you that you're a part of God, that you have a part of God in you, absolutely, that life that's in you, that's a God. That you don't need, you'll realize you always were saved. What is he talking about? He's talking about, in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. He's not talking about the inner man. If he's saying there's nothing good in the inner man, and that's from God, then God's got a part of him that's just no good, period. Forget it. You've got a contradiction here that's absolutely ridiculous. He's not talking about that. He's talking about what man actually produces in the form of the man wherein he is manifested, which is in the flesh. And he tells you he's born in sin, shaped iniquity, comes into the world speaking lies. That's not the soul. No way. The soul is already there forming the body, forms around it, and then the spirit takes it over. Now that spirit is not of God, but it's allowed of God, and works through the brain and the five senses and the sixth sense, whatever you want to call it, like intuition, those things, putting things together. And there's nothing there that will work. And everybody dies the body goes to the dust and to ashes. So what are you looking for? You're looking for something to get this no good body of sin, this tent we live in, full of corruption. We need something somehow to get it to a place where that part's all over, and now we're in a tent we could walk in and be what we should be according to what's inside of us. But we can never be according to what's inside of us. No way, shape, and form. Never will that bring perfection. Nothing ever will bring perfection. Only the death and resurrection and we going through it will bring that perfection to the place that we want. So Brother Brown is not saying these things that people might think he's saying. That would make him some kind of an Armenian. It won't work. It couldn't work, see? Shaped iniquity. What's shaped iniquity? Not your soul. Does the soul come in the world speaking lies? How can it? The seed of God can't lie. What's he talking about? He's talking about the flesh. Because man is threefold. Body, spirit, soul. And here's the body on the outside. Here's spirit on the inside, grabbing everything the body has, the five senses, putting it through the brain. Now take down the soul. If that soul is the soul of God, it rejects every single thing that's wrong. It receives only the light for the hour. That's the evidence of baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the evidence you are a child of God. See, comes the word speaking lies. How could the seed of God that can't tell a lie and can't sin speak a lie? If you're a seed of God, how can you deny vindicated word? See, that's the thing. I'm accused by Jesus' only bunch of thinking, preaching two gods. It's all over the country. Does anybody here think I'm preaching two gods? I'd like to... Listen, you might as well expose yourself now because you're going to stand before the white throne. You're going to get it. And I'm going to be right there. I don't believe in two gods, period. Jesus is not God. He's God in the limited sense of the word that I can worship him. And according to the book of Revelation, I can worship him. And a piano can be a god too. Oh, yeah. Brother Branham said so. So let's get the thing figured out the way it is. Now, speaking like, is that right? Nothing in him at all. So you see, if he was in God's thoughts when he come to the world, he's come in God's thoughts at the beginning to display his attributes. I'll read that again. So you see, if he was in God's thoughts when he came to the world, he came in God's thoughts at the beginning to display his attributes. In other words, it carries all the way through. You follow me? Then Jesus came to break the clouds back so that attribute could display itself. So he's, what we're talking about is a gem in a pig snout. A gem in a manure heap. And remember, Paul admitted that we're manure heads. His finest thoughts, his best theology is a manure head. Said it was dung. Then Jesus came to break the clouds back so that the attribute could display itself. How is that? By the baptism with the Holy Ghost. He is God's express word. Now, nothing else could be manifested. That was Jesus he's talking about. Other characters had all fallen. That's you and me and everybody else. Then you see what did Jesus come to bring back those characters? No. They were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. He came as Redeemer. Now watch that. He never came to bring them back as those, follow me, I'll be your leader, Foxy Loxy, Goosey Lucy. No way, shape, and form. He said, I will die for you. And I will redeem you. That's why he never came to establish characters. He never came like Christian Science and Unity and Hinduism and all these other thoughts. And now the Jews trying to make him a prophet. He never came for that. He came to die and thereby redeem us. And because he was of that quality, not born like you and me, not like you and me, except we're brothers, we're children of God. He was of that character. And he remembered who and what he was when he came down here. And therefore, living that perfect life, he atoned for sins. And remember the handwriting and ordinances which were against us, he wiped out by the cross. And you'll find these Seventh-day Adventists and all these do-gooders, the whole bunch of them, they say, well, when Jesus died, there's no more sacrificing of lambs, there's no more pots and pans. I'm going to tell you, well, let's get this flat. And I'm going to speak from my heart and tell you, if I knew the washing of a pot and pan would deliver me from my sin and set me straight before God, I would wash pots and pans until I did nothing but wash pots and pans. They're a bunch of liars. What was written against them was the Ten Commandments. The moral law. Huh?
Amen.
I'm telling you the truth. You bet I'm telling you the truth. They can't read their Bibles. They don't know the language. They haven't got a clue. You bring the Bible, read it, and oh yeah, pots and pans, pots and pans. No! Pots and pans are written for you, not against you. You follow me? Huh?
Amen.
Come on. Now show you by your faces you're intelligent. He wiped out the ordinances which were against us. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not worship anything but God. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not steal. Honor thy father and thy mother. Pay your taxes. Clean up your bills. Clean up your lives. He died to redeem us. Redeem means to buy back, to pay a price, to restore. That's what the Calvary cross did. They don't understand this. Nobody had the character. Nobody could do it. Every one of us are born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Born in sin, why? Because that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I said the other last time I preached here, man and women, human beings are the only ones that have to be taught sexual intercourse to procreate. Every other insect, even the pollen on the trees and the flowers, they automatically procreate. They don't have to learn a thing, they just do it. Now what have they done at the last time? Satan taught Eve. Got her into the swim of the thing. Now what have they done in school? They've taught the kids all about sex, and they're doing it right. Ah, they taught it all the way down the line, and now they've got AIDS. And when did those books first come out? They came out when I was just a young fella. They showed me a transcript from Brigham Young University. It was all about the sex act. And the next thing came out was a book by a minister, an English clergyman. Yeah. And now it's nothing but sex, 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 sex. And there's going to be AIDS, 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 AIDS. You think for 1 minute that Brother Branham made a mistake? Let me tell you, God doesn't make mistakes.
Amen.
That's the whole thing what it was. You don't bear babies by eating apples. You eat sour apples, you get a stomach ache, you don't have a baby. The whole thing stinks. All were fallen. Then you see what did Jesus come to bring these back here? No, they were born in such enmity. He came as a redeemer. And to redeem anything means to bring it back, amen, bring it back. It was God's thoughts. You think, little you, little me. But no one in the Word could take my place. Now watch. Nobody can take your place. You being a Christian, the filled with the Spirit, God, before the foundation of the world, saw you. And He knew every feature that you got, see. And Jesus came to bring you back. That's what Jesus was here for. The Redeemer, the human body, to bring you back. That had come to be a human as a Redeemer to display His attributes as a Savior. Come to redeem you and bring you back from where you come from. See? To bring you back, to get you back there. Though in this condition, it's all gone. It's thrown away. There's no hope. So Jesus pays the price. Now, you go right back, and you take a glorified body with you. You see? When you receive... Well, that's enough. I wanted to get this far, and I got this far. And so, what we can do is just actually start reading tomorrow, and I think we can finish this whole thing off, because we're going to get to the place in a hurry where you see that Brother Branham absolutely is bringing the people to one place. I said, Brother Branham, concerning himself, I'm a vindicated prophet. God is in me bringing His holy word, completely vindicated. Now, can you believe that? If you can't, you're not a part of who is in me. Oh, my. You see why they want to make Jesus a God or a part of the Godhead? Yeah. Oh, yeah. See, they cannot believe that God deals with his children, human beings, the way this message is preached and the way the word preached. They can't do it. No, we're going to make him the Father, one God. We're going to make him part of the God. But they can't make him this man. Yet the Bible says the man, Christ Jesus. The man, Messiah, Jehovah Savior. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the time of fellowship we have around your word, knowing, Lord, that no matter how hard I preach, it's not going to convince anybody, or how soft I preach, it's not going to convince anybody. It's going to be, Lord, if this word is correct and we're seed, it will convince, it will convict, it will build up, it will tear down, it will renew, it will do all these things it's supposed to do. So in order that we be presented before your throne faultless, redeemed through Jesus Christ, and grown up as children, and given the positions with great joy wherein we were also predestinated. So help us, Lord, to believe your word as never before and live it in a way we never lived it before. Citizens of two worlds, but knowing that we are the citizens primarily of the heavens. People with two callings, that's true, one a vocation and one an avocation. But we with the true vocation remember that, and the avocation falls in line. So whatever it is, Lord, may we put you first, and knowing we can only put you first by putting your word first, that you, Lord, as we sow your word back to you, will give us the abundance of the harvest, and we know that is true because we've proven it to be true. May we, Lord, have enough sense tonight through the Holy Spirit and our experiences with you to know that we can sow spiritually in every dimension that you have given in your word and every promise and reap abundantly. And I ask, Lord, that your blessed spirit within us lead us in this direction as never before above everything else. And in some cases it might be like Samson one more time, and we can do at the end, Lord, gratefully do what has not been done previously and reap the harvest reward of the wonder of your word in your presence. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.